Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Strangers in the Wood. I am your humble game master, Kendrick Smith. I use he, they pronouns. And with me today are my lovely friends and collaborators. Who to start with? Gus.
Hi, I'm Gus. I use he, him pronouns. What else do we say at this part? I forgot.
Nope, that's it. Unless you want to add something.
No.
Okay. Awesome. Right. Also with us here today is Hilda.
Hello, I'm Hilda. I use she, her pronouns.
And last, but of course, most certainly not least. I didn't put a T at the end of that. Marcy.
Hi, yeah, I'm Marcy, and I use she, her pronouns.
Awesome. Well, y'all, this is it. Today we are starting out on a mysterious journey as we play through a game called Babes in the Wood, a game by Adam X. Voss at World Champ Game Co. It is a tabletop RPG. It is powered by the Apocalypse game, if you're familiar with that system. Very narrative heavy game, very rules light, which is great for us, because I think the thing that we're most interested in here is telling an interesting story. This particular game is inspired by the Cartoon Network original series Over the Garden Wall, made by Patrick McHale. What a lad.
What a lad, what a dude.
Amazing show. Do recommend going watching it. But before you do that, you should sit here and listen to this podcast. Let's just start off by introducing everyone's characters. We can do it in the same order that I introduced you as people, because you and your characters are the same, obviously.
I actually don't think we should. I think we should do it.
You want to save yours for last? You want to? Okay.
I just think it would make most sense to. Okay.
No, I
just think it would make most sense to.
All right, Hilda, you can go first.
Okay, cool. My character is Dorothy Reed. She is 7 years old, and she is under the mechanic of a little kid for this Babes in the Wood campaign. And I love her very much.
She's great. What is she afraid of?
Oh gosh, she is afraid of the dark.
Tell me her fears.
Tell me her deepest fears. She's afraid of the dark. She's afraid of being alone in small spaces. She's also not fond of dogs and spiders.
Awesome. Marcy?
Hi, yeah, I will be playing Dakota Wallace, who will be taking the place of the big kid for this session. As for fears, her fears are being the center of attention, being alone, or abandoned, and swimming. She is a wonderful individual who has a bit of a fire in her belly.
She's got a fight. She's got angst.
Dakota,
a little bit of teen angst.
And last but certainly not least, our The star of the show.
Hey, no. See, I'm about to say what my character is, and then the audience is going to be like, okay, I see why that was saved for last. My character, I will be playing Walter Brookstone, and he is a weasel.
Yep. Not like a not as an adjective, but as a noun, is a weasel.
He's a real weasel. I am playing the animal in the class. What are they called?
Yeah, empowered by the apocalypse, they're called playbooks.
Playbook. That's right. Yeah. That's right. The playbook I'm playing is the animal. And yeah, Walter is afraid of owls, being a bad person, and so, you know, is sort of afraid the fact that he is a weasel.
Is a great way to to describe it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can't already tell, this is this game is very much going to be harkening back to kind of like older, like fairy tales, like Grimm fairy tales. Is that just what they're called? What is that? They're just called like Grimm's fairy tales?
Grimm fables.
Brothers Grimm. Yeah, fables.
Folk tales.
Yeah, folk tales. Classic kind of fairy tales in that genre where, you know, kids get lost in the woods, which is a thing that happens a lot.
Wow, spoilers.
Game is called Babes in the Wood. I don't know what you want from me. I feel like the least spoilery thing that I could say is that the kids are going to get lost in the woods.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds kind of spooky. I don't know about that.
Spooky, yeah. Well, we'll see just how spooky it gets.
Dorothy is a very small 7-year-old, like, has not hit her growth spurt yet. She's dressed up as a little pepper shaker for Halloween, but there's not a salt shaker to be seen.
Dakota is about, you know, pretty tall for their age. They're about 5'9". They are pretty muscular build. They're always kind of active, always kind of, you know, outside, along with adorning a Ferris Bueller costume. In her trash can sits a medium-sized salt shaker costume.
I think, like, in the, like, reflection in the mirror, we can see kind of, like, the desk or table that's behind her. And on top of it is a flyer. On the front part of this pamphlet reads All Hallows Weed. Inside of this pamphlet is a drawn, like, map. Well, are my two girls ready to go out and get some trick-or-treating done?
We have to go trick-or-treating now?
Yes! Christopher comes down. Well, of course, we weren't just going to have the two of you dress up just to sit here at home. You gotta go trick-or-treating! Be kids! He starts to hand you the flashlight and says, take care of this, alright? Keep it close to you.
Okay. I won't lose it.
Alright. Hey, Dakota, make sure she's safe, okay?
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna look at Dorothy and go, okay, so you remember how we got here, right?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get back home by myself because it's kind of dark and I don't know what blocks are still. They're kind of confusing.
Now let them know that I walked you home though, okay? Otherwise they're gonna be really mad at you.
Oh, okay. Dorothy's gonna start walking after Dakota.
Yeah, I think Dakota just like kind of takes their phone out and puts the flashlight on so they can kind of see ahead of them and just starts running.
Uh-huh, easy, okay.
Yeah, just kind of straight ahead. They know where they're going.
Dakota, you are traveling through the woods just outside of your suburban neighborhood after being able to escape your foster sister, Dorothy, who, unbeknownst to you, is behind you. You've been traveling through the woods for about a couple of minutes or so. What do you do?
Yeah, Dakota has taken a pamphlet from their pocket and has their phone to be able to see the wording and, you know, images on the pamphlet to help guide them through the woods to what they can only imagine is the faint scent of some sort of festivity in the distance.
Halloween, one could call it.
Halloween. Dakota is not only following a map, but also their senses towards the festivities and wondrous merriment that is Halloween.
Yeah, you are trudging through the dark, following this map, illuminated only by the bits of starlight that are able to peer through the canopy overhead. Behind you, Dorothy, you've been following Dakota since she left you back in the neighborhood to find your way home by yourself. Dorothy, it's dark out here.
Yeah, it is.
And with Dakota as far away ahead of you, I'm imagining she's probably about like 50 to 60 feet like in front of you. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, I don't believe, does Dakota have a flashlight with her?
I was thinking like her phone.
Oh
like...
yeah, she's got her phone light. Yeah. Okay. So, mm-hmm. Awesome. So yeah, you can, so you're able to like see her up ahead as she is using her phone to kind of light her way and also look at her map as well. But yeah, as you are out here and she's like that far away, you start to hear the creeping, haunting sounds of the woods around you.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you do?
I think with all of the, yeah, sounds going on in the woods, I think I look for, like, a bush or something nearby, and I decide to, like, put down Dakota's candy bucket and, like, hide it under there. Since I have a free hand again, kind of. Uh-huh. And I put my bucket over my arm, and I'm holding the flashlight in both hands, and I do like a spin, like, yeah. Look all the way around me with the flashlight out in front of me. And I kind of like put it up a couple times too. Like anytime I'm hearing something, I'm doing like that jumpy, like this way, that way. But I'm also like very much trying to keep up with Dakota, especially as she's gaining more distance. And now that I'm a little bit unburdened, I'm going to like start trying to catch up with her a little bit more.
Awesome. You start like jogging, doing like a light child jog or run. Running for children just kind of looks like jogging.
It does.
Towards Dakota. Dakota, as you are walking, you do like notice like there is like a light, and like you can hear the sounds of like feet against like fallen like branches and crunching leaves beneath feet. Tiny child feet off in like the direction that you see like this light that's kind of like flashing like all around a little bit and like moving like so unsteadily.
She's like gonna turn around like, Scarlet, is that you?
Dorothy ducks behind a tree.
You turn and you see the flashlight like shining at the ground and like the person like holding it like hiding behind a tree like maybe like 30 feet away from you behind you.
Guys, you aren't funny. Come on, I just am trying to find a way here. Can you help me or are you gonna be asses? And she's gonna start kind of stomping towards the light.
Dorothy's just trying to hide behind the tree. Like,
as she gets closer, just kind of like muttering and like yelling, just kind of not only to like, you know, try and communicate, but also kind of like trying to calm her own nerves, you know?
Yeah, eventually you get, you stomp your way towards this tree and you like go around, you like kind of round it a little bit and you see Dorothy standing there with her purple pumpkin filled with candy, holding a flashlight in her little...
It's the orange one. I have the orange one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the orange one.
I left the purple one. Yeah.
Yeah. the orange one. Dakota, you round the corner. You see Dorothy here. Dorothy, you look up. You see your foster sister staring down at you. So what do you guys do as you look, as you confront each other in the woods here?
So Dakota rounds the corner and kind of stares down for a minute and sort of clutches or grabs her forehead, rubbing her temple, and it's like, I thought you knew what blocks were. We've been over this. I told you what blocks were. And yet you still can't find your way home. Do I need to call Christopher and Grace and let them know what you're doing?
No. I know what blocks are, but Elsie wasn't so sure, and so she wanted to come follow you, and so I also...
Okay, why can't Elsie find her way home with you instead of wandering into a forest after me? I told you that they're going to be mad at you.
But I don't want to go back if they're going to be mad at me, because I was supposed to stay with you, and then if they're going to be mad at me, maybe they won't be as mad if I was staying with you instead. And I didn't want to go back because it's dark and I also couldn't carry all the stuff by myself. But so I thought it was maybe a better idea for Elsie and I to come follow you instead, because you know your way back home and Elsie didn't, but I did.
I told you the way back home. Can't Elsie remember it?
No. But...
Fine. And Dakota's gonna pull out her phone and start to, start calling, Chris or Grace.
No! No! Don't call them! I imagine that you've, like, pulled out the phone. Wait. I imagine that you've pulled out the phone and I, like, am doing, like, the little kid, like, kind of like swatting, like trying to grab at it or something, and you're just like holding it above me because you're so much taller than me.
Yeah, as Dorothy is like trying to like hop up and like try to grab it, you pull out your phone, you call Grace and Christopher, your foster parents, and you get the like no cell service, like sound like the like out of service.
Okay, Dorothy, we're going to walk back to the street. I'm going to call Grace and Chris, and they're going to come pick you up. Because obviously, you aren't big enough to find your way home. Okay? I shouldn't have to guide the way for you. You're 7 and a half. You're big enough to remember how to get home. So we're going to go sit on the sidewalk, and I'm going to call them, okay?
I'm sorry, Dakota. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You're fine. It's fine. Just come on. And Dakota is going to kind of, in a huff, pick up Dorothy and sort of carry her out, like try to start carrying her out of the woods, just because she's not going to wait around to have a little kid walk through the woods.
Aw, so how do you pick her up?
Sort of like a little bit like over my shoulder, but like still like, you know, not like, not like I'm like fireman carrying her, but just kind of like supporting her with like my arms.
Gotcha. Awesome. So yeah, Dorothy, you get picked up by Dakota, and the two of you start walking kind of back in the direction that you all came from.
Wait, we have to grab the candy bucket. I left the candy. Can we get the candy?
And where'd you leave it, Dorothy?
Over here, I think.
Where is over here?
I like try to point at the bush I think I left it at.
And then Dakota kind of like takes at least like a decent look over there, because they know that Grace and Chris will be mad if they lose the bucket.
Yeah. You go over in the direction that Dorothy has kind of pointed out, and you're looking around and you don't see the bucket.
So it wasn't over here. Is there any other overhears you have to give?
No. I'm sorry, Dakota.
I, like, do that little kid thing where, like, I just bury my face into your shoulder.
as Dorothy does this, the two of you hear the sound of thunder rumbling overhead.
Dakota kind of like picks up the pace just because they don't want to get caught in the rain. And with a free arm, if I have one, is going to text Scarlet and be like, or do I have service yet or no?
Yeah, you.
I don't have service yet, do I?
You go, yeah, you check your phone and you see that you don't have service.
Yeah, I'm going to check phone, see no service, and just keep trying to walk out of the woods, basically. Kind of fuming the having to deal with Dorothy. But just staying silent and, you know, not really, like, saying much. Just kind of stomping my way through the underbrush.
Mm-hmm. You start stomping your way. I imagine Dorothy's still kind of, like, lightly sobbing into your shoulder. And you keep walking in the direction that you all came from. And it's, like, a couple of minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And you keep walking, and you're not... You seem to be getting further into the woods rather than out of it. As you travel further, the looming trees around you seem to start leaning inwards. Bare and gnarled branches that claw at the dark, cloudy sky overhead. Rolling thunder that echoes every now and then.
In a panic, Dakota's kind of going to realize that she definitely doesn't know the path anymore. And she's going to kind of, in a more gentle tone, okay, Dorothy, do you remember which way you followed me?
No. No.
That's what I thought. Okay. Does your little friend remember which way you followed me?
No.
Okay. I'm gonna put you on my shoulders. We're gonna make you super tall, okay?
Okay.
And if you see any streetlights, I want you to tell me, okay?
Okay.
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 I'm gonna change my.
I like do like the classic like top, like not like like young child like. Snotty, like, like, wipe my eyes.
Amazing.
And Dakota's gonna kind of hoist Dorothy up onto their shoulders. And do, like, a bit of a 360 and ask, hey, do you see anything?
Can I take a gander?
You can, in fact, take a gander. The move, take a gander. You take a long, hard look around. Describe what you are looking into. A roll plus noodle.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to take a gander. I have great noodle. Not. Oh! That's a, math. 9.
That's a 9. Okay, on a 7 and 9, ask your GM 2 of the following questions. One answer will be the truth, and the other, a lie.
Hmm. Fun.
So, you have your list of questions there, right?
Yep.
Okay, which one of those?
I do. I don't know which ones are most applicable to the situation.
Yeah.
I guess, what is going on here? And what here isn't as it appears to be.
What is going on here and what here isn't as it appears to be. Okay. For the answer to what is going on here, my answer is the two of you are about to be caught in a thunderstorm. And my answer to what here is not what it appears to be is... Dakota is not who they appear to be. And the way that I think that you kind of get this information. So you are looking around in the woods, peering into the dark, kind of throwing, like, kind of like moving your flashlight around, trying to peer into the dark crevices behind and through trees and bushes, so on and so forth. And the thunder overhead seems to be getting like louder and more consistent than before. Rain has not yet come, but I think in Dorothy's mind, it is not far off. And as you're looking around and you're like kind of confused and trying to find like find your bearings, I think you can feel Dakota like trembles like for like a moment. And there's this kind of break in a facade that Dorothy might like kind of latch on to and be like, oh, I'm not the only one who's scared here.
I don't see any lights, obviously.
Okay, so you see anything, Dorothy? Anything?
No.
Okay.
No lights.
Okay. Dakota is gonna, like, grab Dorothy into her arms again, take her down from her shoulders, and start kind of making a, you know, a kind of a rash attempt to just sprint out of the woods with Dorothy in her arms.
Okay.
And Dakota is going to try and use Skidoo.
Skidoo! Awesome. Roll plus...
Skidoo, you can too.
Woo! Roll... roll plus... what is it? Steam? Yes.
Yeah, plus steam. Mm-hmm. Cool. That is looking like... A 10.
That's a 10. Awesome. On a 10 plus, Ooh. You escape imminent danger. I think you are running with Dorothy on your shoulders. She's like kind of clinging tightly to probably like your head, I would imagine. And like is like kind of like resting the pumpkin as well.
The candy. Yeah.
Pumpkin candy as well, as she's like holding the flashlight in front of you. And as you are, you run through the woods in the direction that you believe is the way home. And you run for a while. These woods are thick and dark, and there's something about traveling through these woods at night that is simultaneously haunting yet calming. In your mind, around every dark corner lies a creature, hungrily licking its lips, counting the seconds until you become its next meal. But when that corner comes and is illuminated by Dorothy's flashlight, you find that the creature was never there, and there's a rush of relief that comes over you. And over the course of the several minutes, or maybe 30 minutes, or an hour, who can truly tell, but over the course of however long it is that you are out here, you've played this game in your mind of what if. What if the thunderstorm finally comes and we're caught in the rain? What if we are lost in these woods and I don't know what to do about it? What if something bad happens to us? You play this over and over in your mind. Your brain's basically a roller coaster of adrenaline. And finally, in the distance, you see a light. Like a beacon in the dark, a port in the oncoming thunderstorm. As you break through the line in the trees, you see a diner sitting out here in the middle of the forest. It is an older looking diner with vines and moss that cling to the sides of the building, with kind of a faded sign out on top of it, and like bright kind of the kind of cursive neon letters that just say diner on it. It's got the blue like kind of sidings to it, and out front you see this this like older bike rack that's out there, and the lights are on inside, despite the kind of strange, faded appearance of this diner. You can see figures inside. And yeah, that's what you see as you break through the clearing.
Dakota is going to see, you know, that light and just start sprinting towards it, hoping, you know, recognizing it as a business, hoping that someone has a phone. You know, we can call, you know, Grace and Chris and get some kind of help. So, you know, just without much, you know, forethought, Dakota sprints through the front door of that building.
Okay. Yeah, you run up the stairs of this building, like through the door. You have to like kind of take Dorothy off of your shoulders so that you can actually like get through the door. But when you enter, it is this kind of blast from the past. It's an older looking diner, like it's straight out of, you know, Greece, right? It is filled with the smells of pancakes and sausages, bacon, coffee, those like kind of aromas fill this space. There's some low kind of like classic like synth pop that's playing from a jukebox across the way. It's one of those places where there's only like you like walk in and there's like a single aisle for you to go down and like booths on one side and then like a bar with like little like bar stools sitting at the counter, and on the other side of it is where like the server and cashier goes, and there's like a little window that leads into the kitchen in the back where you can hear the like sizzling of like fryers and stoves and like the metallic like scraping and clanking of like someone with a spatula against the flat top grill. And you see there's only like a couple of people here. There is an older looking couple that's sitting like down by the end where the jukebox is. They're wearing like denim. Like both of them wearing all denim, like a denim jacket, denim pants, like denim blue jeans,
Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, they're doing the whole Canadian tuxedo, and they're doing like a nice bit of like a coffee, and you see like some eggs and bacon in front of them. And they're the only like customers that you see that are in here, and you see like a figure that's in the back that's like kind of moving back and forth like at the in the kitchen, and yeah, that's what you see when you walk in. What do you do?
I imagine that Dakota and Dorothy would walk up to the bar, and Dakota would lift Dorothy and set her on one of the stools. And Dakota kind of be leaning over the bar, waiting for some kind of service.
Okay. You wait for, like, probably, like, a few moments before someone comes and helps you. Gus, would you like to introduce your character?
Yeah. Walter the Weasel. He has a stoat, to be more specific. Kind of a medium brown with a white underbelly. Yeah, normal weasel looking fellow.
How tall? Because we determined they're like weasel. From like 7 inches to 13 inches. So we're along line.
I'm going to put him a little bigger than that. I'm going to put him at like a foot and a half.
Okay. That's solid.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah, I think he, from sort of underneath it, I think he sort of hops up onto the counter and, is carrying two menus in his mouth. Oh, and, plops him down and just says, welcome to the diner. What can I get for you? Can I get started with some water? Or...
Dakota kind of stares blankly for a minute. And then starts to kind of like look around and like at one point just kind of like looks over the counter to see if there's like someone behind it. Like, you know, and it's just like, okay, it's cute. The Von Trokos act, real cute. But we need help, please.
Do you want any apple juice?
I can check. What are you doing? What is this? I don't get it. What do you need?
I need. Okay, can I please talk to? Please, I'm not gonna talk through your pet. Okay, He's very cute, and I'm gonna I'm gonna give him a little scratch on the head and go, but we need a phone.
We need to get home. No. That ain't happening here, okay? Alright? This ain't that kind of diner. Alright.
Mr. Ferret, do you have a name?
The name's Walter. You can call me Walt or Wally or whatever floats your boat.
Do you have a phone?
I guess that might be a question for Kendrick. Is there a phone in this diner?
There is a single phone that's in the diner, and it is in your boss's office. Your boss is named Dexter. He's this kind of short, broad man with short, curly hair, little, like, neatly trimmed beard, handsome face. He's the owner of the diner. He's also the cook, so he's behind the, behind the wall back there. But yeah, the only phone in the place is in his office.
Yeah. So I think Walter yells back to the kid and says, "Hey Dex, we got some kids want to use the phone."
Some kids want to use the phone?
Oh. Yeah.
Hold on. And you hear like the kind of like the tossing down of like the spatulas onto the counter. And he and like through like the kind of like flapping doors that separate this half of the bar with the kitchen in the back, you see him come out. He comes over and says, "Well, look at you kids. What do you need to use the phone for?"
Dakota is just kind of silent, taking in the situation, more or less staring at Dorothy and her ease of moving through this interaction.
I think Dorothy's under the impression, Dorothy's under the same impression of this not being, like, the ferret's not really talking to me or whatever, but, like, she thinks it's super cool that is... Like, that's the thing that is now, like, the thing she can focus on that's, like, awesome. Yeah. Instead of being, like, scared about the fact that she was in the woods and it was dark and, like, worried about the thunderstorm. It's like, oh, cool. This, like, weird trick for Halloween that there's a talking ferret. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked what we need with the phone, right?
Yeah, what you kids need the phone for?
We got turned around in the woods and need to call home.
I'm kind of looking at him too, but yeah, like we need to give people a call to come pick us up. We got turned around. Is there anything we can do to help us?
Well, he kind of looks you up and down and says, "You kids look like you said you're lost. You look a little kind of tired, dirty, maybe a little hungry. We can get you some food, try to get you all settled out, because see if we can find someone who could help you. You said you were lost, right?"
Yeah. Then, like, Dakota kind of has their face, their head in their hands on the counter, just like rubbing their eyes, just like, no, we don't have time to eat. Whoa. We, please, anything, just anything. Do you have a car?"
Sorry, kid, I ain't got no car here. You sure you don't want to stay and maybe eat something? It's, going back out there, it looks like it's gonna," and as he says that, like, there's thunder, like, you see the flash of lightning and, like, the sound of thunder, and then immediately it starts pouring down rain. Like it's, like, so bad out there.
And then, so it kind of, like, looks up and sees, and just, like, "We don't have any money. Dorothy, do you have any money?"
"I have candy. We can eat the candy.
Oh, you're a grown kid. You need to eat more than candy. Don't worry about it. You guys can have some food, you know, and if you're worried about paying that much, you can just wash some dishes afterwards, and that'll, you pay for it. And meanwhile, I can make some calls, see if I can get somebody to try to help you.
And Dakota's going to come humble. You mean I wash dishes?
I'm good at washing dishes. I can help.
Yeah, Walter's just kind of like looking back and forth between the three of them, kind of anxiously, almost.
Mr. Dexter, how does you make the ferret talk?
Oh, Walt!
That's really
He's
cool.
not making me.
Walt just talks.
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, you all must be new then. Okay. Hi. All right. I'll make a couple of calls.
Yeah.
Walter, if you can get these two settled out, I'm gonna make a few calls, see if I can get them some help.
Yeah, okay.
Appreciate it, bud. He gives you like he's got like big stubby hands and like gives you like a pat on the head. But it like
Yep. Still don't like that. Don't like that. Dex.
I'm sorry, buddy. Right. And he goes on back out like a different door that doesn't lead into a kitchen, but like into what you know, Walt, as like a back like kind of corridor towards where his office is.
So right away he kind of scurries back across the counter to the two of them, and says, Dex read you right, huh? You're new. You're really not from around here, huh?
We're from a neighborhood a few blocks away. We just got turned around.
Ah, jeez. Okay. Well, listen. Last time I accepted some food from Dex. I sort of ended up in a position of what you might call indentured servitude. So, I would recommend not doing that.
So no pancakes?
Indentured. Last time? What do you mean last time?
I mean, I don't know. It was a while ago. I came here. I was hungry, you know?
I'm hungry.
Well, you got that candy, don't you? Oh,
yeah.
They'll fill you right up. They'll fill you right up.
The abbots told me not to eat all my candy in one night, though, because it's not good. And then the dentist guy also said that candy rots your teeth, because I was supposed to get that toothbrush. But I hid it in the bushes instead because I didn't see a use for the toothbrush. But I probably should have kept it because my teeth are going to rot out now.
Your teeth aren't going to rot out. You'll get new ones anyway. Just eat the candy. We're not... We don't need this food. We're fine.
Amazing. Okay.
Hey, if you don't mind me asking, how long you been here?
We just walked in the door. What do you mean?
No, I mean like he. This ain't gonna make sense. Look, if you want my recommendation, I say, I can grab you some. Grab you like a gallon of milk from the fridge and say I'll tell Dex you swiped it while I wasn't looking and you can just scurry on out of here, okay? It's probably for the best.
Okay.
With a guy like Dex, with indentured servitude, you think I want to steal something from him?
Yeah, probably not. I don't know what your MO is.
Mr. Ferret.
How about
Mr. Ferret, where's here?
You mean like the diner or the sort of the other thing?
Cause no, I you sound like you're talking about a different place, and I thought we were still in Franklin, like we just live in Franklin, and we didn't go that far. So are we not in Franklin? I thought we were in Franklin.
I mean, I don't really know where Franklin is.
It is right outside the woods.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm gonna lean over to Dorothy and go, Dorothy, he obviously has lost his marbles. This man's talking through a ferret. Okay.
I don't know. We're probably just.
Walter goes right up to Dakota's face and says, "Hey, look, one last time. There ain't no one behind the counter. You want to look behind the counter? There's no one there. It's me. I am a weasel. You get used to it. There's a lot weirder stuff around here, all right?"
As you say that, the door opens up and Dex comes back out and he says, "Well, I made a few calls and, well, it looks like rain's gotten so bad, sheriff's not going to be able to come out to, you know, maybe give you kids a ride to wherever you're headed. At least it'll take him some time to get out here. So if you all want, you're more than free to stay here, have a bite to eat until sheriff shows back up and can get you a ride out of here."
"We're not hungry.
Are you sure? Your kids, you seem like you only got candy in it. It might take a while for the sheriff to get here."
No, we had a big dinner.
I shovel in another Kit Kat. I've eaten like 3 Kit Kats.
You're going to rot your teeth, kid.
That's what the dentist said. But then he gave me a toothbrush, and then I put the toothbrush in the
Your dentist was right.
I'll have Elsie eat some of it too, so that I can eat all of it. It'll be fine. All
right. Well, have your big sister Elsie, and he looks at you, Dakota. Have your big sister make sure that you get some real food in you. All right. Well, once you get their orders, just let me know, and I'll start cooking. And he goes back into the kitchen.
Yeah. We'll do.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into 3 sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I, like, I start eating, like a Butterfinger or something uh-huh. like that? I want to get off of the stool and, like, wander around the diner a little bit.
Absolutely.
Maybe, let's see, what do I want to do? Maybe I stumble upon?
Okay. Absolutely. Stumble upon. What's that shiny thing over there? Roll plus noodle.
We got a very solid 4.
A 4. Ooh, that's a failure. Oh. Our first failure. you get 1 point of XP for 1.
Woo!
Awesome. And then I get to make a hard move against you all.
Uh-oh.
Amazing. Describe to me, what does it look like as Dorothy's going to, like, kind of wander around?
I'm just chomping down on, like, it's like a solid, like, a full Butterfinger mm-hmm. or whatever, and I'm just, like, eating it with, like, both hands or whatever, and I'm just, like, wandering around the diner. I, like, go to check out the jukebox. I've never seen a jukebox before, probably, and, like,
yeah,
just trying to, like, look around.
Because
this is an unfamiliar, like, a diner in general is something Dorothy probably hasn't experienced.
As you are, like, kind of going around over to the jukebox, you're seeing, like, this ancient bit of technology, or at least might as well be ancient to Dorothy. You're kind of, like, looking around it, you see, like, it's this large box shape that kind of, like, rounds out at the top. It's got neon lights that go around the edges of it. It's got a glass case, and when you look inside, it's got all of the, you know, different records for all the different songs and such. As she's, like, kind of, like, on her, like, tiptoes looking through it, like, she sees, like, there aren't, like, how we would understand for a jukebox to, like, have, like, different names and, like, different albums, so on and so forth, for people to choose to. It seems like there's just, like, one song that is, like, listed over and over and over and over and over again. And it just says the diner theme.
Holy shit.
And as you are, like, looking around, you see, like, kind of, like, in the shadow of this jukebox, like, off in the corner, you see a little black turtle that is, like, crawling, like, across the floor and, like, underneath the counter underneath, like, the counter, like, behind, like, a stool.
I'm gonna follow it.
Okay, yeah, you see it crawls, like, back towards the front, back to where Dakota and Walter are, and, like, kind of, like, crawls and then, like, goes behind the counter, heading towards the back. Dakota and Walter, you see as Dorothy is, like, goes through, like, the flap thing to, like, go behind the counter, and you see that she is, like, starting to go, like, back through the folding, the flapping doors into the kitchen.
Dakota kind of, like, gets up and goes, like, hey, and kind of jumps over the counter to try and, like, little chase after her, because it's like, where the fuck are you going?
Yeah, hey, you can't go back. Oh, jeez. Okay.
I found a turtle.
Are they able to stop you before you get through the doors, or do you like already, you're like halfway through the door before they call you?
I feel like it's something like that, yeah, where I'm just enthralled with following this turtle.
Yeah, you're like, you open up the flapping doors as they, like, start to call after you, and you see Dex is back there. He's, like, cooking up something. He sees you and, like, the little black turtle that's, like, crawling across the floor, and he says, what are you doing back here, kid? I see you wanted to see where the magic happens.
What's this? I found a cool turtle.
A turtle?
I wanted to follow the turtle.
Oh, look at that.
And I, like, point down at the turtle.
Oh, look at that, little buddy. And you see him, he, like, picks it up barehanded and, like, is holding it, like, upside down in his hand. And he says, and you see that?
No.
That there's good eats. And he puts it on the thing. He takes out a meat hammer and smashes it in front of you.
Oh my god. Dakota, like, lunges forward and kind of, like, puts herself in front of Dorothy.
Yeah, you lunge into the room and kind of, like,
I see this happen. I just
pull
scream,
her back, yeah. And you start screaming, and he's like, hey, hey, what's wrong? You know, you, I thought you wanted to see where the magic happens.
Dex.
What?
Dex, that's not appropriate for children.
It's
all right?
Food. Why is food not appropriate for children?
Because no one eats turtles. What are you? Some kind of
people
weirdo?
People eat turtles. Walter, you would know people eat turtles, especially here.
Yeah, people eat turtles.
Oh, come on. You...
I wanted to pet the turtle.
Oh, don't cry.
Look what you did.
Look, kid, I'm... How about I make you a nice bit of turtle stew, huh? On the house.
No!
She doesn't want the turtle stew.
Dakota's, like, jaw just kind of drops.
For me, then. And you see he, like... crack, he's like taking the bits of shell out and like the turtle is dead. The turtle is splat, like has been, like it's been crushed and is like unmoving, and there's like bits of it that are like have come out from like that initial impact, and he's like picking through it, taking out bits of the shell, finding the meat that he can use. And yeah.
I'm burying my face into Dakota.
I'm gonna like push like Dorothy out of like the from the back of the kitchen. And say, we're getting out of here. Let's leave. Let's go. And kind of just like pushing us like out of the kitchen.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
And as we come out, I'm gonna like kind of shout to the old Canadian tech tuxedo wearers in the back, and kind of be like, "Hey, can we get some help? Or can we? Hello."
They do not respond.
I sort of, you know, drag Dorothy, like, you know, like holding Dorothy's like arm, kind of pulling her along. Like, I walk over to them, and I put like my hand on the table. I'm like, "Hello, can you hear me?"
You see the two of them. They are eating, and they have the most dead look in their eyes. They are just like, they are just staring down at their food, taking like spoonfuls. They'll take like I feel like one of them has like grits in front of them, and like taking a full spoonful, like dipping like in the grits, and you see they put the spoon in their mouth and then take the spoon out, but the grits are still in the spoon, and then they dip and then they put the spoon back, and then they make the like motion as if they're chewing, but like, you know, they can't be. Because the food did not leave the spoon. And, yeah.
Okay. So, Dakota grabs a ketchup bottle off the table, assuming there is one in the location we're at. And just squirts it all over one of their plates. Like, literally just, like, a mound of ketchup. It's no like, hello? Did I get your attention?
No. Walter, you're watching these kids like bother. Walter, so you have, these people have been here eating since you first came like a week ago.
Yeah.
Is there food like touched at all? Like, or is it untouched?
I mean, they are like interacting with the food, but they are not. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, is it like whole? Like, oh, it's not like
partially. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it has been touched.
I'm gonna take the non ketchup plate and set it on the booth next to them and sit down. And offer some to Dorothy.
Walter like starts to scurry over. He's like, hey, I was really serious when I said don't. Maybe don't eat anything here, okay?
They paid for it. We don't have to pay for it. What does it matter?
You're gonna pay for it.
What?
I don't have any money.
What do you mean we're gonna pay for it? I know. These geezers aren't even taking any bites. They're just gonna get cold.
You think, how long do you think those folks been in here?
I don't know what, 3 hours? They're old, they're slow.
No, they've been here longer than I have.
How long have you been here?
I don't know. Like a week or a year, I don't know. You lose track.
A week and a year are very different things.
So that's very observant, kid, yeah.
What do you mean we're gonna pay for this food, then?
I can trade candy. I have some Mike and Ikes.
This food isn't worth Mike and Ikes, Dorothy.
I mean, look, all right, if I'm being honest, a while ago, came in here, I was hungry. I asked Dex, say, hey, can you give me some food? He said, yeah, here's some eggs. Do you know how good eggs are to me? Do you know what I eat? I'm a weasel.
Do you eat turtles too?
Nah, I don't touch that. But I mean, it's better than hunting mice, you know. So he sets some eggs in front of me. I'm devouring those. I say I don't have any money. He says, "Don't worry about it. You can wash some dishes, work it off." And then, you know, every day was you've almost worked through all those eggs you ate. And I'll be fair, I ate a lot of it. Like it was a lot of eggs. Like I don't have a large body. I didn't think I could fit that many eggs in it, but you know, I did.
Why do you keep coming back? Just
coming back? No, I never leave.
Why don't you just leave?
It's not that simple here. That simple.
Just walk out the door. What's he gonna do?
I don't know. I don't want to test it.
So you're gonna stay in here for the rest of your life? Serving the same grits to these old folks?
Maybe. I don't know. What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna get home, and I'm gonna go to Halloween, and I'm gonna have a good time. That's my plan. I'm not gonna stay here in some diner with a talking ferret and some man who eats turtles. That's not my idea of a good time.
Well, good luck with that. Like I said, it's never that simple. Say Halloween.
Yeah, I didn't come up with it, okay?
Nah, I mean, I think it sounds fun. That sounds fun. I like it.
Yeah, you want to go? You want to maybe, you know, leave this place?
Sorry, the image of Dakota showing up with a talking ferret to Halloween is a beautiful picture.
That would be the coolest kid there.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on in Dakota's mind. Like, if I bring a talking ferret to Halloween, I'm gonna be so fucking cool. The coolest fucking
person. I think Walter looks back towards the kitchen, and just stares for a second, and just goes, "Ha! I don't know. I mean, I've been running through these parts for a while now, and I don't know.
Well, clearly not. You've been running through these parts. These parts? Do you mean these booths in the kitchen back there?
I mean, I don't know what I mean. Maybe you'll get it. I don't know, but I don't know. And I haven't gotten this all figured out yet, you know? Okay. All right, let's go.
That's what I like to hear. Do you know how much money someone would pay to see a talking ferret? You're gonna be huge. You literally can be a celebrity.
Yeah, I'm sure. I haven't gotten much success out of it so far, but hopefully, frickin' P.T. Barnum is gonna pop up and really enjoy what's going on.
Who's P.T. Barnum? Anyway,
I don't know. Some guy. I don't actually know. Anyway.
Okay.
And Walter yells, Hey Dex, I'm going on my break, okay?
Okay. When you come back, I'll have some turtle stew if you want some.
All right, you know I don't.
Dakota just like shudders at the idea of turtle stew. Okay, so what's around here? Is there any other stores we can go to? Anyone else we can talk to other than the Turtle Man? Because clearly he's not doing anything.
Hmm.
Can I go back over to the jukebox and see if there's another turtle that I can rescue?
Yeah, go back over there. Give me a noodle check. Roll plus noodle.
Okay. Ooh! That's a 10.
Yeah. You do see another turtle. As you like, as Dakota and Walt are like talking about like, you know, what the plan is, you kind of hop down from the booth. You like kind of wander back over and you go and like look in the area that you saw the previous turtle. And at first you don't see one, but then you see like, you look back over to the jukebox and you see there's a little flap that opens up and a turtle crawls out of it. And then like starts following the exact same path of the other turtle.
I open up the flap. I want to look inside.
It is filled with turtles. Like the inside, like of this, the inside of this box has, it's full, it's full like, it's packed in. They're like stuck and packed in and they are all fighting to like try to be the one that comes out of the flap. And despite there being like no obvious like mechanical pieces of this jukebox, this like low kind of classic synth pop is still playing in the background. Chill vibes.
Dakota.
Looks kind of like a, what, Dorothy? What?
There's more turtles.
What?
There's more turtles, but there's too many.
What do you mean there's too many? How many turtles can there be?
Lots. Many turtles.
I'm gonna walk over to Dorothy and be like, what do you...
I like
there's
point
one
at the
turtle
flap
on the ground. Dakota's going to look in the flap.
You see all of the turtles packed in there, all like wriggling and squirming, trying to be the ones that get out of the little flap.
Can I...
That is a lot of turtles.
Can I use a move?
Yeah, here? Absolutely.
I wanna recite poetry. I think is appropriate.
Amazing.
Because I'm
awesome.
I'm curious if Walter knows anything about these turtles.
Of course. Amazing. Let's see. What is that? Roll plus.
It's a noodle roll. Yeah. That's gonna be an 8.
An 8, okay. Sorry, I'm going back up to where it is at. Oops. Recite poetry. Okay, on a 7 to 9, you are swept up in your own verse. The GM tells you something poetic about your situation. It is up to you to make it useful. Okay, okay, so I'm gonna tell you the thing that is poetic and then you gotta make a poem. There's, I mean, come on, right?
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm going to tell you that is poetic is like, much like everyone else in the sublime, the black turtles struggle amongst each other to escape the flap.
Okay, so I have to come up with a poem?
Yep. It can be a limerick, haiku, you can do full verse if you want to.
Haiku seems easiest here.
Fair.
To do on the spot.
Yeah, haiku.
So is the haiku the way this is translated to us?
Yes, exactly.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Your skills.
Turtles in despair. Just like us, they claw and bite, trying to escape.
Damn.
Snaps for
poetry.
Yeah, seriously. Dakota kind of feels empathetic for these turtles. They're destined to be smashed by this man's mallet. So she's gonna lean in to Dorothy and go, hey, Dorothy, do you want to save these little turtles, friends? You don't want them getting smashed by the hammer, do you?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I can carry them, though.
Dakota is going to use Cause Mischief. Am I allowed to do that?
You come up with a scheme? Absolutely, yeah.
So, Dakota's plan is to take perhaps a chair or something, some implement from the diner and try to break open the jukebox, freeing the turtles.
Yes. Please roll plus noodle, and I really hope this works.
Ooh. It's gonna be a 5.
Ooh. No! Oh, I'm so sad. Okay. That's a failure. Mark 1 experience point.
I get turtles. 1 experience point?
Yes, you do.
Okay, cool.
I think you pick up like one of the bar stools, I guess, and you go to smash it against the jukebox. And you like try to hit it with all your might, but when you hit it, it feels like it's just like a steel block that doesn't rattles it a little bit, and like you hear like the synth pop starts just like repeating. It's like the record is skipping just over and over and over and over again. And you hear Dex from in the other room like, "Hey, what's going on out there?" And he like comes through the door and sees you like still holding the chair. He's like, "Hey, what's going on? What you doing over there?"
Can I grab whichever turtle is closest to getting out or whatever?
Absolutely.
I just want to grab one of them.
Yeah, right. No, you can grab it.
I stuff it in with my candy.
Dakota's gonna look over at Dexter and be like, "Oh, we're just getting a head start on the turtles for you." Turtles! We thought you'd want some them smashed up to help you, since you're being so nice to us.
What are you talking about? And he comes out from behind the bar and starts like stomping down the aisles. He's like, "Put that chair Jordan, down." Like,
hides behind Dakota.
Hey.
Dexter's
scary.
Hey,
kids, I think it might be time to get out of here. What do you think? I think
time to get Walter. You weren't planning on leaving,
nah,
were you?
Nah, just on my break. Like I said,
on your break. Roll, you're lying to this man. I can have you roll plus mush. You
have
grift, don't you? I would allow this to be a grift.
Okay.
Check. You trying to deceive him and trying to, like, let these kids go and you go, quote unquote, on your break. Yeah.
So, if I have... Oh, no. If I have grift, that just means I don't subtract when I roll, right?
I think you still subtract. I think you still subtract your
negative
mush.
Well, yeah, but, like, I don't... I don't get the
penalty.
Yeah,
no, you still do. No, you do still get the... you get the penalty. Having the move means you can use the move. No one else can use grift. So if you have a minus one in mush, when you roll grift, you'll still take the minus one.
I might ask you to reread that rule, but I do get the minus one.
Wait.
It says in an emergency, a player can attempt to perform a basic move that is not in their move list, but they will have a minus two to the dice roll to represent their lack of expertise.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying the minus
right.
to your...
Yeah, no. No, I know I get that.
I thought you were saying your mush is a minus. Okay, yeah, no, you don't get the minus two. Because you have grift.
Anyway, that's going to be a 6.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you were... a 6. you see him...
We are doing
great. absolutely. Mark a point of XP, first of all. And second of all, he goes, "No, don't think you can get weaseling out of this." And he grabs you and like you fit in the palm of his hand. So Dakota and Dorothy, you see him like pick up Walter and like is like squeezing him, and like Walter, it's like it hurts. You are gonna take one harm.
Oh jeez.
From this.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna do something real quick.
Don't hurt the weasel.
I'm gonna instead use step up when he does that, and I'm going to throw the chair at Dexter.
Amazing. Yes. Roll plus steam.
Ooh. Yeah, it's gonna, what is that? It's gonna be a six.
No, jeez.
Mine is okay. Hey, you get another point of experience points. So the one harm still happens to you, Walter. And I think what happens is while he's holding,
Oh, wait, no, it's only a 7 to 9. Fuck.
Yep, it's only 7 to 9. I'm so sorry. Walter, yeah, you still take the, one point of harm. He's holding on to you. Dakota, you take the chair and you like throw it into the back of this man. He's a large man. He's short, but he's a big, broad man. And, you like, it hits his back and he like kind of like fumbles forward a little bit and then turns to you and grabs you by the arm and is like trying to like, how tall is Dakota again?
About like 5'9".
5'9". You and this man, he's actually probably a little shorter than you. So he's grabbing you and like tries to like pull on you and says, "All right, that's enough. I tried to be nice. But if you're gonna just try to wreck my shop, we'll just wait here until the sheriff gets here to take care of you." And he starts trying to drag you back into, like, back behind the counter and off to the back room. And he's still holding Walter in the other hand. Dorothy, you've just watched all of this go down.
You said the sheriff wasn't out tonight, so the sheriff wouldn't come by. What are you talking about?
The sheriff is on his way. I said he might be a little it might be a little long, but if we gotta wait till tomorrow, we'll wait till tomorrow.
I'm gonna try to exchange glances with Walter.
No, stop. Please stop. This is a little bit of a familiar situation for Dorothy. Not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, Dorothy, what do you do as you're watching this happen?
She's just screaming for him to stop. And, trying not to cry.
Mm-hmm.
But she's frozen.
Understandable.
Ah, jeez. I don't know what I want to do.
Act. Just go. No, pick something. Go.
Okay,
act.
Okay.
Pick something. Go. Yeah.
I'm gonna try to do it. I'm gonna try to do a move that I don't know.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no.
I'm going to cause mischief.
Oh, okay. What's your plan?
So I say, look, Dex, we can talk this out, all right? How about it? Look. Let's just talk, all right? Can you loosen up on me a little bit right now? You're kind of crushing my spine.
Okay. What is your plan here?
So the idea is that I'm gonna bite him.
Okay. Amazing. Like he's gonna loosen up on him. You're gonna bite him and then run off.
That is the intent.
Okay. Awesome.
I like the long explanation for I'm gonna bite him.
Yeah, no, that's great. Roll plus noodle. And then you take a -2 to this because you don't have.
Oh shit! That's two fives. That's a 10, baby.
Oh shit! Okay, you're playing. Yeah, he goes. I'm sorry, Walter. I didn't. And he loosens up a bit. And just as he does, you bite like hard into his hand. And he lets go of you and lets go of Dakota. And like keels over. He's like, ah, damn it, that's Walter. That's our cue.
All right, we go now. All right, we go now. We go now.
Dorothy, run. Then we're going to run out. And I'm going to, on the way, I'm going to try and grab the bucket of candy as well.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm still holding my bucket of candy. It's okay.
Oh, you are? I thought you set it down. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Okay, cool.
Walter is gotcha. Grabbing something else as well on the way out, which I will reveal later.
No, you're fine. I got you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the three of you just hurry up. You start running for the door. Dakota, you're able to grab the bucket of candy. You three run out into the storm that's outside. Like as you guys come out through the door, thunder and lightning flash open, and you hear the call from back inside, be like, "Hey, get back here!" And as you all are taking a quick you guys are out here. As you guys are looking around, what do you do?
What do we see? Do we see anything at all?
There is a bike rack here with a bike, an older kind of what style of bike am I thinking of? It's one of those ones that has a little basket in front, you know?
Yeah. Long goose.
It's a cruiser. That's what the type of bike. It's an old cruiser with a little basket in front and a one of those pedal lights where as you pedal it, the light kind of flickers on.
I think we should take it.
Yeah, no. I pull it off the bike rack and I kind of help Dorothy into the basket, and I kind of pat my shoulders, looking at Walter, in the kind of insinuating for him to climb aboard.
Yeah, I don't know if a weasel can roll its eyes, but if it can, he does and climbs aboard.
All right, Walter the Weasel hops on board Dakota's shoulders. We've got Dorothy sitting kind of lopsided in the basket. I imagine you've given the bucket of candy to her so she can hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And you start you take it off the rack and you start pedaling. You start going, and you hear from behind you the door of the diner swing open, the little bell dings. Dexter steps out and he's yelling, "Get back here, Walter! You still owe me!" As you're riding off into the storm.
I turn on my flashlight.
Yeah, you turn off your flashlight, you start leading the way, and as you're going, you see two bright headlights of a car coming in front of you. Roll me a plus steam.
Is that me?
Yes.
I'm rolling my steam?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
This will be a defy danger kind of roll.
Nine.
Okay, awesome. You
no, wait.
Are...
I'm dumb. It's 10. I'm sorry.
Eek, that's so good for you. that's amazing for you, in fact. You are riding this bike head forward, you see this car is coming, and you're able to swerve away in the rain. Luckily for you, you don't skid and fall on the wet mud of the road, and as the car passes, you see the it's this brown and white cruiser. There's some lights on top that aren't turned on, and along the side you see Sublime County Sheriff. As you are passing by, it drives back over towards, it's driving back towards the the diner, you get like a brief glimpse as Dorothy's flashlight like kind of shines into the window, and you see this older looking man, wrinkled face, who's wearing sunglasses in the middle of the fucking night during a storm. He's got his like fucking like hat on and like a cigarette in his mouth, like lit in the car, windows closed.
My God.
Like the most douchiest cop you could imagine, and the three of you all at the same time make eye contact with this man as you like skid around the car, and he keeps driving on to the diner, and you all make it down the road and into the rest of the wood in the middle of this storm. And that is where we are going to end this session.
Oh. Ooh.
Amazing.
Ooh. Holy shit.
That was so good, you guys. That was...
You're telling
I love
us.
That.
Real quick, Kendo, is it this guy?
it kind of looks like that guy. For sure, absolutely. Fucking Indiana Jones
ass.
That's a
Nazi from Indiana Jones.
You said he has a mustache.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, sure. He's got a mustache.
Like a big,
I like that.
Mustache.
I think maybe I may have projected that onto him.
Maybe.
No, I love that. But he's got a big handlebar mustache for sure.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm so sad we didn't save the turtles. God
I
damn it!
I saved one.
I'm also
saved one.
Ooh.
So the first question we have to ask. Over the course of play, characters will gain XP in a few ways. Firstly, whenever they attempt to move and roll 6 or less, which happens several times, they get 1 XP. At the end of each gameplay session, you should ask each player the following questions. And for each positive answer, they gain 1 additional XP. And the first question is, were you good to your friends?
Yes.
Dorothy was definitely very good to her friends. What about Walter and Dakota?
Debatable.
I think Dakota's been a mixed bag there. I'd say an easy to strong no.
I think the one thing that Walt did was he bit Dexter to allow them to escape. But that was as much in his interest as it was in his friends.
He tipped us off as well. You were
true.
Don't eat the food.
Yeah, I would say Walter was pretty good. I don't know. He didn't do anything like negative.
No.
I berated Dorothy.
Yeah.
True. That's fair.
Okay, so I'll take one.
Okay,
so
Dorothy and Walter, you both get 1 XP for that question. Next question is, did you overcome your fears? I don't think anyone
really,
did.
No.
Yeah, it's a little early for that one. Yeah, no. Okay. And then the last one, did you learn a lesson?
No.
Not really.
No.
No? Okay, awesome. Cool. And then no one has 5 XP at
Unless
the moment,
it's
correct?
Don't show people turtles. That's the only...
I mean, if you can argue like a lesson that you think your character learned from it, like, I'm more than happy to hear it.
No, I mean, no.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, yeah. I think Dakota, if anything, Dakota definitely, like, is more embarrassed about getting lost, but didn't necessarily learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. And then nobody has 5 XP at the moment?
No.
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. Then we are done.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a really fantastic first go at this. I really like this game. I hope you guys are liking it, too. And I hope you all listening are enjoying as well. There will definitely be more to come as we enter further into the sublime. Dun dun dun. just a bit of housekeeping. Again, my Gus, do you want to go first?
What?
You got any, just Gus, do you have anything you want to plug? Social media or anything like that?
I make music. That's my full-time thing. I should be on Instagram, YouTube, maybe by the time this comes out, Spotify, under the name, yeah. August Nobby. So check it out.
Awesome. And that's Nobby, Knobbe. Yeah,
and August, like the month.
Awesome. Like the month.
Kind of a 40K orcish last name, to be honest.
A little bit.
I kind of like it. Hilda, do you have anything you want to plug?
Go follow my cat on Instagram. His name is Elliot.
Yeah.
He's very cute. Just look up Elliot the kitty cat. That's two L's and two T's in Elliot. Let's get him to a solid 35 followers.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. We need to bump up those followers. Yeah. Elliot deserves fans. He deserves nothing but the best. Marcy, what about you?
Hi, yeah. So I do cosplaying and streaming. You can find me on Twitch and Twitter, the double TWs, at Soapy Squid. That is going to be SoapieSquid. And just hope to see you guys come by. And I hope you guys are appreciating the little game we're playing here.
I agree. Awesome. And hi, again, Kendrick. You can find me on all social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitch. I also do game streams. Right now I'm playing through Life is Strange 2. I don't know why I'm saying that, because by the time you are listening to this, I will not be playing that game anymore.
Are you sure?
Because I'll be done with it.
Here's hoping.
I'm pretty sure. I think by that time, Life is Strange 3 will be out, so I'll probably be playing that.
Ooh.
So there's that. But yeah, you can find me on all of those social medias at Kendo Makes Films. And yeah, thank you all for listening. This has been wonderful. Yeah, I think that's it.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And music plays off. Yeah, and then now.
Bored of D&D? Want to try something else? Why not check out Control Group? We test systems so you don't have to. Using our patented mini campaigns along with one-shots, we test how far you can stretch systems with our unique ideas and broad storytelling. Our mission statement is to give a voice to those not often heard in the TTRPG community. So whether it be a system you've never heard of, or our testers being people of color, people on the LGBTQIA+ spectrum, we want to make sure our stories are broad, vast, and told from different perspectives. So whether you want classic role-playing or just big goofs, come listen to us try out systems, some of which we've even made ourselves. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, or head over to controlgrouppod.com. That's CTRL, just like the key on your keyboard. There you can find the systems we test, along with easily accessible PDFs. So check us out if you're into Monster of the Week, Passion Deus Passionis, A Song of Fire and Ice, Lasers and Feelings, Gunsight, Void Worlds, Wizards and Wands, Stranded, Interstitial, The Last Shonen, and so much more!
Be gay!
Roll Dice!
An LGBTQIA Actual Play Podcast Network.